Shabbos Parshas Kisetze. The date was the 14th of Elul, Tavshem Emhei, which is the equivalent of 1985. The Maimer begins with a quote from the first pasuk of this week's Torah portion. Kisetze la'molchama aleivecha. The Torah says that when you go out to war upon your enemy, unesone Hashem aleikecha biyadecha. So the Lord God delivers your enemy into your hands. Vishavisa shivye. And you take a captive. V'yadua diyukei rabbi sein nisyeinu b'zeh. So our rabbeim carefully and precisely analyzed these words. And they said, what is the meaning of, or why does the Torah use the terminology al oivecha? Al oivecha means on your enemy. What's the question? D'lecha'eira ho'yemasim yeser haloshan im oivecha. If you want to get grammatically correct, it would seem that the proper verbiage would be when you go out to war, im oivecha, which means with your enemy, or be oivecha. You go out to war against your enemy. So with your enemy or against your enemy sounds a little bit more reasonable than going out to war upon your enemy. And then the Torah uses that the verbiage, that expression, comes the question, umahu al oivecha. Gam medaikim. There's something else here that if you look carefully, it shows up. Bameh, shekefel hakof or kofel hakosav leimer v'shaviso shivye. The Torah uses what seems to be redundant expression. It says, you'll capture a captive. It could just say, you'll take a captive. What's the v'shaviso shivye? It could have said, even v'shaviso. But v'shavisa shivyoi means literally mashmos ha'inyan. It seems to say shemashal ekeach min ha'oyev, that which is taken from the enemy, namely v'shavisa, and you take and you capture ha'yinyan shel shevi lifneze. It seems that whatever it was you captured was already a captive. Literally, it translates as you capture a captive, instead of simply you take a captive. You capture a captive. Why would it have to say you capture a captive? Obviously, if you take a captive, so then whoever you took is a captive. Why would the Torah use that double expression, vishavisa shivye? So it sounds like whoever this was, whoever the captive taken was, it sounds like they were already a captive before. Vitzarech lahavin, that has to be understood. D'lecha'ira lo'ikein hu derech ha'malchamis. This is not necessarily the rules of engagement. It's not the way wars unfold. Usually what you take from the enemy, meaning vishavisa, that's the verb you take. It was something that previously belonged to the enemy. Now it's your captive. It wasn't your captive before. Now it is your captive. It's your captive by means of virtue of you taking the captive. But it wasn't always a captive. Here it says vishavisa shivyoi, you take his captive, as if whoever it was that was captured was already a captive. And that's why it's called capturing a captive. That sounds strange. Why does the Torah use that exact expression? We're going to skip the next couple of lines because we're not going to get to those answers later on. So this is the kernel of the explanation. And what the Rebbe is going to tell us now, the way this first paragraph is going to finish is not going to be the explanation per se. The explanation has to be developed. But this is the kernel of what the explanation will be about. And that is that the kernel or the way to understand this is that kisetzi la'melchama, when we open the Torah and we start to read about going out to war, that you cannot read this as something that once happened, a reality that was once relevant, details that were at some point in history meaningful. But rather, this is a hayra, this has to be a lesson and an instruction, l'kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael. So, part one of the explanation is that this is relevant for everybody. So we're establishing what's called relevancy. Now, relevancy for everybody doesn't mean it's relevant now. It could be it was once relevant for everybody because everybody could have been at war, everybody could have been engaged in war in some way. And the Rebbe adds, it's not just something that's not only relevant for a slender segment of the population that's actually been mustered into the military forces and they're going to war. Not only does it not speak specifically to those who are members of the armed forces, it speaks to every member of Klal Yisrael. But furthermore, it does not only speak to members of Klal Yisrael, when they are living in a time in which there is a Jewish military and it's been conscripted and mustered and now they're going to war, but rather it speaks b'chol hazmanim in all times. And after all, in most of our history, we didn't have an army and we weren't going to war. We were maybe being attacked, but we weren't going to war. So this is, we have the first, the principle, point one is relevancy. And that's the essence of the explanation. This is relevant. How do we know it's relevant? Who says? Maybe the Torah is talking about an army that once was. Maybe the Torah is talking about those who are actively engaged in battle once upon a time. How do we know that it's relevant for everybody? So the Rebbe makes the case. He says, because kol ha-Torah, the entirety, not just some of the Torah, but all of the Torah, which Torah, he points out in the brackets, is ha-Torah, the essence of Torah, the inyan of Torah, is instruction. Torah, in fact, is milshoin ha-Torah. The word Torah comes from the terminology ha-Torah, as Rabbeinu David Kimchi, as Radak says in his commentary in Tillim in Psalm 19. He says Torah and ha-Torah are synonymous. So the Torah, which is a ha-Torah, Torah, which is, by definition, an instruction, is called Meirasha Kehilas Yankiv. It's called the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And we know that inheritances do not require intelligence, do not require much background. It doesn't matter whether you're able or not. If you are an heir, you're an heir. End of story. So inheritance is an essential thing. And when you come into an inheritance, it is all yours by virtue of the fact that you inherited it. Shenitna b'Yerusha, that is to say, this pasuk from the end of Chumash Devarim in Parshas Bracha is telling us that the Torah was given b'Yerusha, the Torah was given as an inheritance. Even though nobody had to die for you to get the Torah, that's not the point. It's not about an inheritance which is bequeathed upon death, but rather it's the idea of inheritance. And the idea of inheritance is something that's Meirasha Kehilas Yankiv, which means L'kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael. So, if you're a believing Jew, and we should be, and you believe that the Torah is the real deal, and it is, and the Torah being the real deal is instruction, Ha'irah, and it's the Kol Echad V'Echad, it's each and every one as a Meirasha, as an inheritance. So then it has to be relevant for everybody. So you say, well, okay, fine. It was once relevant for everybody. It has some kind of relevancy at some point in history when the Torah was speaking to us. Well, the Rebbe says, the other thing about the Torah is it's called Torah's Chaim. It's called the Torah of life. And that means, Torah's Chaim does not only mean that the Torah is a source of life, but Torah is Hayra'a b'chaim. The Torah is lessons for life. So if it's lessons for life, it's self-understood that every part of Torah, including something as out of sorts with our everyday existence, as Kiseitze L'Mochama, even something that seems so far removed from who we are as individuals going out to war, it must be then a Ha'irah B'chayim L'Kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael. And this becomes the final summation. This, the Torah, is by virtue of what we explained, a Ha'irah B'chayim, a lesson for life for every single Yid. That's the kernel of the explanation. You want to understand why the Torah uses the verbiage like aloi vecha instead of imay vecha, why the Torah talks to you by going out in battle or war on your enemy rather than engaging with your enemy. You want to know why the Torah uses redundant expression like vishavisa shivyei. The key to unlocking the seeming intractable nature of the Torah's choice of words and syntax, the key is that this is a lesson for life, for all of us. That's the key. What does that mean? Okay, so now Bir Ha'inyan. Now we're going to go on to chapter 2. So let's try to understand this. What does this mean? How could it be a lesson for life? Why should it be a lesson for life? I'm not going to war. I never joined the military. I don't have plans of being part of any military. How am I going to go to war? How is this Torah speaking to me? Well, Bir Ha'inyan, the explanation of Kiseitze L'Mochama. B'nigei L'kol Echad V'Echad B'Yisrael. This is an explanation of how Kiseitze L'Mochama impacts necessarily each and every single Yid. It doesn't mean the Torah doesn't speak especially to those who are now wearing the uniform of the IDF and going out to battle and defend Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel. It doesn't mean the Torah is not speaking to them. Of course the Torah is speaking to them in a unique fashion. And of course, a member of Tzahal, when he reads this, he takes it differently. He feels a little bit closer to it. Of course, understood. But there has to be a message for every one of us. What might the message be? So the message for every one of us, insofar as we're all concerned, is hini teichin melchamezuba avedas haadam, the meaning, the content, the motif of this this kind of battle in our service. Our service does not mean a military service necessarily. Our service means what we're doing with life. Life is missionful. Life is purposeful. Life doesn't just happen. So if life doesn't just happen, and there's a mission and purpose, the meaning to life, so which is called Avodah Sa'adam, a person was created, L'shamesh Eskayini, to serve our master. So to serve our master, serve God, that is the Avodah. That is necessarily the work, the toil, the service, the purpose of our existence. So what does it mean when we talk about a war? Through the prism of our Avodah, it means Masha Adam Tzarech Lichbesh Esinyanei Ha'olam, that every one of us has a obligation, a duty, to, so to speak, proverbially, conquer worldliness, and to make worldliness Kelim Lelikus, to create out of worldliness a vessel, a vehicle, an envelope through which godliness should be promulgated. So that everything in the world is an opportunity for us to spread a message of God's presence. And in fact, that's our purpose. Our duty is to utilize everything for exactly that purpose. And that can be a battle. That doesn't necessarily happen easily or simply. Budgets don't balance themselves. Wars don't fight themselves. Wars need to be prosecuted. Budgets require belt tightening and hard work to get balanced. So this that a person has to do requires an affirmative action. And that affirmative action in this week's parsha is spelled out to us in military terms. V'zeo kiseitzi la'melchama, this is the meaning of going out to war, al oivecha. When the Torah says that you need to take the initiative and you need to do the difficult thing, transcend your orbit, go past your comfort zone, go out there and do what's necessary so that the battle is prosecuted successfully, what we mean to say is that you need to do this in a manner of al oivecha. Don't engage with your opponent. Go out over your opponent. That's the message. Go out over your opponent. What does that mean? When we are on this mission of seeking to conquer, or divide and conquer, however you want to call it. So we have a mission now. Our duty is to take the material, the mundane, the ordinary, that which seems at odds with godliness, and so much of this world seems at odds with everything we believe in. So you have to take all those things that don't seem to jibe with the message of Torah, and you're going to engage, and you're going to turn that into a vehicle and vessel for godliness. And so, when you do this, your mindset is critical. This is about mindset. The mindset is, Tzarech Ladas, you must know, when you do this, Shehu B'matzav Shal Al Eivecha, the Torah wants you to know that it is not an equal playing field. You are lemaila me'evecha. You have the home advantage. You tower above your opponent. What does that mean? It means the hainu shahalichasi lebuchamazu, that when I go out for this engagement, I go out to this battle. This is al pitzivui hatayra. This is by virtue, by dint of the Torah's instructions, the Torah's commandment. And if it has the Torah's commandment attached to it, that means hainu, that is to say, bekoyach hatayra, by the power of Torah. And lefichach, therefore, ein elo shnei tzadim shavim halech memzeim zeh. This is not an equal battlefield. This is not an equal playing field. There are not two equal opponents who are now going at it, and somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. Because, I mean, that's how it is. There's always two opponents. And two opponents, there's always a winner and there's always going to be a loser. No. Hu nimtza lemaila lechatchila. You come out, this is your battle to lose, so to speak. You won before you started. It's yours to lose. You know, sometimes you see a political fight unfold and you say it was their election to lose. And they were so stupid, they actually lost it. But it was theirs to lose. Like everything was, all the constellations were lined up for success. Why didn't they succeed? The analysts will have what to do when somebody can make a living by being a talking head, talking about what did they do wrong. But sometimes you say a sitting government is doing so bad that if and only the opponents will do what's right, if only they will actually state their case and make their cause clear without trying to follow this scripted mumbo jumbo, but will actually be strident, and they'll be forthright, and they'll make their case. Says it's yours to lose. So you have this locked up. There's no reason. You obviously got to play your cards right. Obviously you have to do what's necessary. But you should know when you go into this, the victory is yours. It's all but assured. Who can be your own worst enemy? You. You can be your own worst enemy. You can always lose the battle. You can lose the war. You can. But you shouldn't. And you don't have to. And you're actually predisposed for victory here. And you have to know that. And when you know that, when you know that that's called in one word, over your enemy. That's called lemaila. I don't go out with. I'm not engaging against. I come out over. Over means I have the home advantage. I know I can do this. Av shapirish rashi. Now there's a little bit of a, I'm going to call this like a monkey wrench, a little bit of a wrinkle in this thesis. And the wrinkle is, that sounds very nice. You say, okay, Rabbi, that's nice. You're telling me that I'm going out to war. And Kiseit Shel HaMelachah speaks about engaging with worldliness that seems to be at loggerheads with godliness, but I know that I have the power of Torah. I can necessarily see, yeah, one second. Don't confuse me with the facts or anything, but actually Rashi did tell us right in the beginning of the Parsha, Shebu Mochemes Rishus HaKosev Medaber, that the Torah here speaks not about a war which is duty. It's not a duty. I don't have to do this. But rather, it's an elective. I can. I may do this. Meaning, it's not an immoral war. I may fight this war, but I don't have to fight this war. Mechemes mitzvah doesn't mean holy war. We don't have holy wars. That's a different faith system. We don't buy into that. We have moral wars. And we have mandated wars. Mechemes mitzvah means a mandated war. Mechemes reshus means a moral war. So a moral war can be fought or not, but it's not an evil thing. It's okay, it's lawful, and if it's lawful, it's legal, meaning then it's moral, because if it's immoral, that means it's illegal or unlawful. And then there's wars which are not legal or lawful. They're not just moral, they're mandated. They're mandated. Like the wars that Israel fights these days, that Rebbe said very clearly, these are mandated wars. Because if we won't fight, the enemy states exactly what it wants. And if we don't defend ourselves, we become complicit, chas v'shalom, in them doing what they want. It's not an option. But this is an option. It may be moral, it may be lawful, but it's not mandated. So the Rebbe says, yeah, of course. That is the power of this message. That's exactly the point. The Yeshleimar, that this could mean, if you interpret it within the prism of Avedus HaAdam, the koi al kibush in yoni reshus, that this refers to conquering areas which you're not necessarily mandated to conquer. You didn't have to incorporate this into Yiddishkeit, into godliness. You know that when it comes to making this world a keli, a vessel, a vehicle, an envelope for godliness, that there basically are two ways of approaching this, or there are two dimensions. There are the things we must do, and the things we may do. Things we must do include mitzvahs that we have to. We have to make Kiddush tonight. It's not an option. So, well, I don't feel like making Kiddush tonight. That's unfortunate. Well, you actually have to. Do I have to make Kiddush tonight? Yeah, you do have to make Kiddush tonight. But then there are other things that you don't necessarily have to do, but you should do. Like what? Like whatever I'm going to do should be done for a godly purpose. And that's encapsulated in the terminology, kol ma'asecha. All of your deeds, which include inyanei reshus, they're your things. Ma'isa means an action. They're ma'asecha. They're your actions. Well, if they're your actions, as the Mishnah says in Maseches Avos, in chapter 2, Mishnah 12, if it says kol ma'asecha yilushem shamayim, then that refers, says the Rebbe, to inyanei reshus. That refers to things which are not mandated, but things which are elected. I can elect to do this. It's ma'asecha. Torah says, you're doing your thing? Yeah, you didn't have to do A, B, and C now. You didn't have to exercise. You didn't have to eat this meal. It's not a meal which is mandated, but I'm going to eat now. And I'm going to eat now with a holy purpose in mind. I'm going to eat in order to live to serve Hashem. That's why I'm eating now. Somebody posted on my Facebook yesterday, one of the classes, said we should eat to live, not live to eat. And so I added, you should live to eat to serve Hashem. Life in and of itself is not good enough. You have to live purposefully. So when I go through the things which are purposeful, meaning to serve Hashem, and even when they're not things which are mandated, I don't have to do it this way, that way, or the other way, but if I may, then I must do it in a holy fashion. So Bechemes HaRashos does not diminish this thesis. In fact, it makes the case much stronger. because the real idea of going out to war, if you will, of seeking to conquer, of seeking to incorporate that which was not naturally within the fold of holiness and Yiddishkeit and godliness, and bringing that into the fold of it, the really powerful message is that even when it's in Yoni Rishus, even when I don't have to do this, but I'm going to do it, and I'm doing it right. I'm going to do it in a holy way, and I do it in a godly way, in a purposeful way. Well, guess what? When you do that, you have the Koyach HaTorah too. And therefore, even then, you're Alei Vecha. Even then, you have the home advantage. Even then, you tower above your opponent. Because even the ordinary, everyday things that you do are being done Al Pi HaTorah, by virtue of the Torah. And now the Rebbe goes back to the language that Rashi employed. And he says, that'd be so amazing. He says, do you know what the language of the Torah is? The language of Rashi's commentary? The language is, B'melchemes harashus hakosuv medaber, that the Pasuk, the scripture, speaks about an elective war. So the Rebbe turns those words a little bit. And says, okay, now let's read this with different, slightly different punctuation. That you have to read it as, Gam melchamazu, this war also, is being spoken of by the Torah. In other words, the elective things are also B'Koyach HaTorah. It's also, the Torah speaks about that too. Even then, you're Alei Vecha. The Torah doesn't just say, you're Alei Vecha, you will succeed. Why? Well, the Torah says, I have to do this. Even when I'm not doing something which the Torah says I have to do, but I'm doing something which I'm electing to do, but I'm doing it as Torah says I should, even then, I have the B'Koyach HaTorah. Even then, I have Torah stamp of approval. I have Torah empowerment, and Gam Melchamazu is also Alei Vecha. I'm also Lemaila. I'm also above and beyond. I tower above my opponent, and so much so that Ad Shehatziel Melchama, that even going out to this war, goes with the knowledge Sha'adam Yedeh, that the person is saying, "Okay, I'm now going to engage with my opponent. I now have a Yetzahara. It's trying to knock me down. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. Of course, I'm sure it's going to work out. It's going to work out well." Why? Because I'm coming as a Torah Jew. And if I come as a Torah Jew, it has to be good. It will be good. Harei hanetzachin shayadeze, the victory that will be mine will be be'ifin miyuchad, in a remarkable way, in a special way. Hanetzachin, in a ifin of atzacha, I will be successful. Not I hope I'm successful, I will be successful. And maybe I don't know what success is always, but I know I will be successful. Because if I'm doing what the Torah wants me to do, I have to be successful. And sometimes it's not the success I envision, but it's still success. Why? Because I did my best. So if I did my best, it has to be that I'm necessarily going to be successful. Your gaiti umatzasi, like the famous Gemara says, you made the effort, you will surely be successful. So now the Rebbe takes this in a little bit of a new direction. Let's go past these first words of Kisei Tzela Mochama. The next words are, Unasanai Hashem Alikecha Biyadecha. God gives or delivers into your hands. So the mystical analysis goes as follows. We know that victory can be in one of two ways, or many ways. There is an etzachin, for example, there is a victory that comes al yedei aveda b'yegi gdeilo. There is victory that comes, but through tremendous exertion and toil. And you're spent. You're victorious, but you're spent. And in fact, you spend everything. You go bankrupt trying to win. In the end, you win, but you're bankrupt because you spent everything, every ounce of energy. So Ayideya Aveda Biyagi Atsuma, because your toil requires you to muster so much of your wherewithal, and it's Ba'ifen Shal Perech, it comes in the way of Perech. Which, what does it mean, Avedas Perech? Like Rashi says, Avedas Perech means HaMefareches HaGufa Meshabarte. That's what Rashi, when he translates this in the beginning of Shmois, it says that the Pharaoh sent that to people in Avedas Perech. He says Avedas Perech means Mefareches. It literally breaks the body. It causes breakdown. It rips you apart. So you won, but you're spent. You don't have an ounce of energy. As they say, they give you the blessing. You should have health, wealth, and time to enjoy it. Because sometimes you're so busy creating health and wealth that you have no time to enjoy your health and wealth. But I have it. Yeah, great. What does it do for anybody? Almost nothing. Why? Because I have no time to enjoy it. I can't even enjoy my victory. I won in the end. Sometimes they call that a pyrrhic victory, where somebody spent all the money, all the energy, all the soldiers. He won in the end, but the king had no army left. He had nothing left, in fact. He was an empty shell. But he won. So you spend everything. And maybe it doesn't mean a pyrrhic victory here, but it means a victory that requires tremendous effort to the point that it literally causes breakdown. But there is another kind of victory. And the other kind of victory is the Nitzachin B'li Yegiyah. You didn't really work hard. In other words, you didn't have to be exhausted by it. It's ba'ifin d'chol melachtecha asuya. It happens in a way that all your work is done for you. So, you know, there's a famous mechilta on the words kol melachtecha asuya, that on Shabbos it should be as if all your work is done. So the mechilta says, do you know anybody who's all his work has ever done? So the mechilta says, well, here's the meaning of peace. Here's the meaning of rest. Here's the meaning of serenity. That it should be ki'ilu kol melachtecha asuya, as if all your work is done. How should it be on Shabbos? Mindset. Mindset is, right now it's Shabbos today. What about all these things that have to get done? Yeah, I don't know about that. Right now it's Shabbos, nothing has to get done on Shabbos. It's mindset. So the meaning of menucha means that not only I'm not at work right now, but I don't have the toil, I don't have the stress of the work that has to be done either. Because if I'm leaving work by taking work home with me, did I ever leave work? You know, a lot of companies started buying their employees Blackberries and iPhones going back about 10, 15 years, and the employees felt so good about themselves. Wow, the company buys me a Blackberry, they bought me an iPhone. And they didn't realize they bought them a leash, that these people never left work. Why? Because no matter what would happen, they would always be able to be finding them. It was worth for the company to spend the money on whatever it was, because now they have them. And they increased their stress level, and they never let go of them now. Because they always have to respond. We gave you a free BlackBerry. You gave you that free iPhone. Ha! And meantime, it just robbed them of whatever rest that they might have had. So the point here is that the Netzachon should be B'liyigia, in a way of Malachtech Asuya. That is to say, the Gam Shenimtza B'matzav the Mulchama. You're still in the battle. And we're always actually still in the battle. Nonetheless, the Netzachon is B'efet Shal Shalom. The victory comes about in a peaceful way, like it's known from the idea that of Pada B'Shalom, that what David HaMelech says in the end of Psalm 55, that Hashem has redeemed my soul mikrovli, from battle. That even though there's this idea of krav means hand-to-hand combat, and it's a very intense kind of combat. Nonetheless, the pediah, the redemption, that Hashem releases me from this situation, the nitzachon, the victory, if you will, is b'shalom. And shalom also comes from the terminology of shleimut. Not only is it a peaceful, but it is a complete victory. And that is that the Nitzachon comes without any kind of effort. And this is the meaning of Unusanai Hashem Alekecha Biyadecha. God places in your hand. Now, don't think that you sit home and God places in your hand. It means when you go out to war, when you're ready to make the effort, when you're ready to roll your sleeves up, you go out Alevecha. Then the Netzachon comes from on high, and then it comes in a manner of Netina. Netina is a permutation of the word Matana. A Matana, a gift, is the Gemara says about Matana, about gift, Kol HaNeisen, whoever gives, the Ayin Yafa Neisen. When you give a gift, you don't give a gift in a chintzy or cheap way. You give a gift, you give a gift. You don't give half a gift, a quarter of a gift. You give a gift, you give it. So Hashem is going to give you victory. It's not going to be a Furic victory. It's not going to be a hard fought victory where there's almost nothing left when you win it. It's going to be an absolute and a total victory. And even though the shleimus of the Netzachon has to come from on high, and in fact the only way you could have perfect victory in which your own residuals and wherewithals are still preserved and remain intact is if you have mazel, if you have bracha, it comes from a higher place. The Rebbe says nonetheless, you have to make the effort. And the balance of the next paragraph, which we're not going to have time to go through properly, is that you have to make the effort 100%. You have to expend every ounce of wherewithal you have. But if you make all the effort, then Hashem comes and gives you the rest. But why do you have to make that effort? Because you don't make the effort, you don't have ownership. You don't have possession. It's not really yours. Yeah, whatever it is, victory out there. I don't feel like it's my victory. I don't feel like I own it. And then there's no v'shavisa shivye. Then there's no captive taken. The captives aren't really mine. I haven't really earned this. When you earn it, it's mine. And the Rebbe goes on then, so what is a mishvisa shivyoi? He says, two kind of captives. Sometimes I capture that which was always in the hands of the enemy, rightfully theirs, if you will, but I captured it. Another way is that I realize and understand that that which they have always belonged to me. I'm basically recapturing that which was always mine. And that's like the idea that Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that Ein lecha simcha gdeila mizu, there's no greater joy than bringing home the lost child. Not because the lost child wasn't connected to the king. He was the king's son always, but he got lost. And that's greater, far greater than finding a stranger, bringing a stranger home. or bring a stranger into something. So in other words, the way we have to look at the world is not that the world and the world and godliness are really at loggerheads and opposition to each other. And actually, intrinsically, they have nothing to do with each other. We can change that. No, we're supposed to look at the world as it really is a godly place. In fact, godliness is invested in it, and it really belongs to God to begin with. It's just the world became estranged. And my mission, my purpose, is to reverse that estrangement and to bring home that which is always rightfully godly and good. And then, Bishavisa Shivyai, then you're capturing a captive. That which the enemy had taken, you retake and recapture. And this is the greatest joy, and this is the greatest achievement and accomplishment. And that is where we're going to be able to get to today. Unfortunately, we have to stop over there. Good Shabbos to all of our listeners from around the world. Thank you for joining us for another exhilarating week of Torah study. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that there should be Vishavisa Shivyei, that we should be able to change the world and bring it all home. And that will happen fully when the Son of Hashem Alekecha B'yadecha, when the Eibishter will give us the coming of Mashiach, B'mheira, will be Amenu. Amen.